Let's get into Revelation chapter 18 this evening. And just so wonderful how in going back over the different chapters, and the Lord's just been leading me to read back through and to study and just meditate upon, again, His greatness. And His greatness is magnified throughout the Word of God, but so especially so in this book of Revelation. How this evening in chapter 18, we're going to continue on with this thought of Babylon. And again, if you really pick this up from the 14th chapter of Revelation, we have been reading, and it's been emphasizing about this Babylon. This is a great warning. This is something that God, obviously, even in the churches, the seven churches, and especially in Thyatira, she so ties into this. But again, it's a little bit of Laodicea and a little bit of Sardis in there as well too, and you can see that the epitome with this is this Thyatira as well. But God is warning His people at this time to not be sleepy, to wake up, to be sober, to be looking for the things that are above, to have our hearts and our affections set on the things above. It is so easy to get complacent in this world. I said on Sunday, I've said it many times, I believe the greatest test of faith throughout the ages has been at this time. I truly believe that. This is a world that has every need, in a sense, met for us. It has every comfort. It has every type of entertainment and a way to take your mind and your body, whether it's medicines or, like I say, entertainment, movies, music, at like no other time there's ever been. And yet God is using this time to call out a people for His namesake. Isn't that amazing? See, we have like the two epitomes, the epitome of evil and yet the epitome of greatness and glory in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So again, I so thank Him that you could get awfully depressed as a Christian. And I've met many a depressed and pessimistic Christians. And if you're a pessimistic Christian here tonight, I feel sorry for you, because your eyes aren't open to the things that God wants to do and that what God is doing in His people this at this time. So let's continue to rejoice about that. But again, going back to Babylon here, he will continue on through this 18th chapter and into the 19th chapter, and more so emphasizing Babylon than, and again, Babylon is part of that Antichrist. It's part of that system. It's part of this great political, this great religious system that will come in at this time, that will completely dominate, power, infiltrate this whole world. And this evening in chapter 18, we are going to talk about the final judgment of Babylon. And of those two parts of really the Antichrist, we have first this nationalization of all the religions. And this is something we've never seen. This is something this world has never seen. This drawing in, really, of all religions, this uniting of minds. There was a Babylon back in the early days. And I think of old Nimrod. Nimrod, what a name. And I think that's one of the names that people call one another when they're kind of being a knucklehead, but a Nimrod. But Nimrod was an antichrist and said that Babylon was the gate to heaven, was in his opinion. And you would understand that at that time they built that big tower, and God came down and looked at what they were doing and obviously knew that Babylon sure didn't mean the gate to heaven. It meant confusion. And this is the epitome of confusion. And you'll see that Babylon, even in the Old Testament there, was a bringing in. That's when all of the world spoke one language. That's when this uniting was going on. That was just a type of this Babylon that's coming on at this time, that's going to be in this world. I'm not going to say necessarily the one language, but in a sense, I think that we are truly getting to be the English language throughout the whole world. I think we're trying to, we have a gold standard now and continuing on to have one currency. And that's really based upon the dollar. Don't fool yourself. Everybody pretty much has a number anyways. I'm not saying that that's the mark of the beast. Let's not go there. But we're prime and ready for this. And that's why the Lord could come at any time. And that's why we need to be looking up and praise God, not just to escape. That's just a fringe benefit, I think, about the benefit is to be face to face with the one I love. Praise His name. All right, so let's go on here and we'll get into chapter 18 of Revelation. And after these things, I saw another angel come down from heaven, having great power, and the earth was lightened with his glory. And he cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the great is fallen, and is become the habitation of devils, and the hold of every foul spirit, and a cage of every unclean and hateful bird. And we'll go ahead and stop there. Now, so precious here, we see that this angel come down from heaven, having the power, great power, and the earth was lightened with his glory. Now, obviously, this is Jesus Christ. But yet, in chapter 14, verse 8, if you just go back there and glance at it, there was another announcement of this Babylon is fallen, and this was by an angel, that the great city, because she made all nations drink of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. Now, this angel back in 14:8 that it's speaking of here is one of those glorified saints. This angel here obviously is Christ Jesus himself. It just shows that there is complete agreement in this judgment. And if you're ever going to be in complete agreement with Christ in ruling and reigning with him and bringing out these vials of plagues and all of the different things that God has called us to and participating at this time, you're going to need to be, and I'm going to need to be, in complete agreement with him right now. And that's the thing, is we have to understand and see ourselves as he sees us. I think it's so important. I was visiting with a couple sisters today, and that was one of the things we spoke about, which came out. It was precious to see Sister Colleen from Texas, and I appreciated being with her. But it's so true. We have to have his vision in our life and his vision of who we are to him and who he wants us to be and what he is calling us to be. I mean, when he said a joint heir with Christ, he wasn't kidding. You go back and you look in the Greek, you look in the Hebrew of that word, synchloronymous. I know it sounds like a dinosaur, but it's not. It means joint heir as man and wife. It means one. It means what's mine is yours and what's yours is mine. Co-equal. We don't even have words in the English that really can adequately describe that word. It's just one. And that's what Christ is offering us. It truly is. Now, by his grace, we are part of that wonderful body. We are part of his wonderful body. But there is, as we know in the church, there is a body within the body. That Brother Adam, when he went to sleep there, representing the church at this time, which is asleep, drunken in the night, not being sober, so caught up with the things of this world, not looking for the appearing of Jesus Christ. And yet that's when God came upon Adam and he took out of him a rib portion closest to the heart. And yet out of that rib, he completely created, he completely formed, he completely made a complete body that would become the bride. Isn't that wonderful? Let that speak to you. Over and over throughout the Word of God, so many types and signs and wonders of what Christ is doing at this time. He doesn't just say it once, I believe you me. I understand how ignorant and how easily I forget. The children in Israel, they could do a miracle of miracles, and within 3 days they were cursing God and wanting to go right back into slavery. That's you too. Okay, it's our flesh too. But for the grace of God, there go I. So let's understand how much he loves us, and again, how frail and fearing we can be apart from God. All right. So having the great power, and the earth was lightened with his glory. And truly this earth is lightened only with the glory of God. I think about the glory that he is revealing in us from glory to glory. I do believe the Word of God tells us that the only light of this world truly is him, and him in his saints. The Word tells us that he that hinders, that's stopping this whole thing from coming at this moment, is his bride. But when that bride is taken out of the way, then the sudden destruction is going to happen. Then one is going to come upon the earth, and those are going to wander after him. So again, what a presence and what a promise that we can have this glory. And then it goes on to say, and he cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the great is fallen, and has become the habitation of devils, and the hold of every foul spirit, and a cage of every unclean and hateful bird. Now the bird from heaven can speak of a wonderful messenger, but you'll understand that this is the unclean, the hateful bird. This is speaking of the false messengers. This is speaking of those that would be the antichrist that have already come in a sense to this world, but anything that is against Christ Jesus. That's the unclean and the foul, the every foul spirit, the devils that are completely contained in this place. And again, brothers and sisters, you know that God is showing us that throughout this this world and in so-called Christianity. There is many a religion, Christian religion, where Christ used to be prominent within that church. They used to preach Christ. Now you go into these places, and I would say that there would be a remote chance that someone would even get saved anymore. It's rampant. There is a form of godliness, but they are denying the power thereof. Jesus Christ is the very power of God, and that is what's being denied at this time. Okay, going on, verse 3. For all nations, and we've been reading about this, Revelation 17:2 said the same thing. They've committed fornication. Inhabitants of the earth have been made drunk with the wine of her fornication. Here we go again, verse 3. For all nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. And the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her. And the merchants of the earth are waxed rich through the abundance of her delicacies. And this delicacy, if you look that up, it means luxury, but it also means arrogance. See, this is the, I truly believe, the epitome of God's word, where, you know, truly the love of money is the root of all evil. I mean, everybody's going to be captivated in this thing. You know, a lot of people look around here and say, oh, well, you know, not everybody's going to be religious. Let me tell you something. There's many of people right now that the religion, their religion is the money. Their religion is going after gold. And don't fool yourself. And don't just categorize, say, oh, yes, that's just the rich. Let me tell you something. I've lived long enough to know that I've seen the poor love money far more than the rich. And it can happen to anybody. When that mammon, when that is your idol, and that's what you're going after in your life, the love of it is the root of all evilness. I believe that if you find any destruction that truly happened in your life, you can bring it back. It'll go through selfishness, bitterness, and all of these things. But I know the Word of God is true, and it'll root back to there was a love of money somewhere in it. Love of money's things. Things have to have money to get in a lot of ways. Don't fool yourself. You know before God, the Word of God tells us to examine ourselves whether we're in the faith. What is our idol tonight? You know, I want to be about Christ. I want to be sincere. This is the time to get, you know, open with Him. Let Him strip everything away from you. It's about time. He's about ready to come. And He knows, and He's searching the reins of the heart right now. He knows the intent of what you're truly after. I believe by His grace you wouldn't be here tonight if you didn't have something tugging at your heart. And remember, this is the grace of God. He has to draw you. You didn't come here tonight in your own strength. It's because of the love of God that you showed up this evening. It's because He knew that you had a heart. He saw you so many eons ago. And He had a plan for you. And this is part of that ordained good work that you should walk in them. And when we can come together and we can sup and we can have fellowship with one another and we can get into a study with brothers and sisters of like faith, I'm looking into the eyes of the aristocracy of everything. I'm not just trying to pump you up. It's what the Word of God says. How could I deny that in my life? How could I just think of it as something that, oh, okay, it's just common. Cherish it, brothers and sisters. And if there's ever a time, and there will be a time, that you get complacent with it, get on your knees and say, Lord, help me. Help me to cherish this calling. Help me to cherish that, Lord, I believe that You chose me. Okay. We can get into a lot of ways with that, but praise His name. But they've been waxed in abundance with her delicacies. And boy, have they been waxed. Praise God. All right. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 11, verse 25 and 26. This is, again, I just encourage us in some of the themes here. This obviously is, calling these people to come out that basically will be hellbound. But in Hebrews chapter 11, verses 25 and 26, I appreciate Paul encouraging, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasure of sin for a season. There will be things that will be appealing to our flesh, brothers and sisters. There are. It just is. That devil is a crafty fellow. And he knows what God lets him know. And I think God lets him know. He's the tempter. And he lets him know a little bit about what he wants to have done. Obviously, he's got him completely under control. But let me tell you something. There is sensations to our flesh that can seem to be a pleasure of sin for a season. But it's going to bring about destruction if we go after it. It will. And there is something that's precious in it. And go ahead and read verse 26 with me. Esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches. We spoke about that a lot on Sunday, didn't we now? Esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasure in Egypt, or the treasure of this world. That's what Egypt stands and represents. For he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. See, we need to see the reward of God. See, our payday truly is someday. But I still think about the blessings that God gives us right now as we, by His grace, and He has given us all spiritual blessings in the heavens in Christ Jesus. And as we apply and align ourselves with the Word of God, I assure you, He will bless you. He will bless you like you can't imagine. And He will turn it immediately. Now, I'm not talking about prosper and be in health. I'm talking about something so much greater than that. I'm talking about having a peace that passes understanding. I'm talking about understanding and truly knowing that my life has direction. That it has a path. That it has a path that can win Him. But it comes into my family. It comes into my workplace. It comes into my friends. It brings the people into my life that need to be there. And it takes those that need to get out of there right out of there. That's a blessing. And we need to understand that. Your dependency isn't upon a relationship. It's not upon a person in a sense of flesh. You need a relationship with Jesus Christ. And He needs to be your solace. He really does. Sometimes we get too dependent upon other people. It is wonderful to be open. It's wonderful to love. I so appreciate the fellowship of saints. But get close to God. Let Him be your comforter. Praise His name. All right, going on. And I heard another voice from heaven saying, "Come out of her, my people." I can't imagine whose voice that is. Calling you my people, I think we know. "That ye be not partakers of her sins, and that ye receive not of her plagues." And I appreciate this again. There are a lot, and I mean a lot, of Christians that are caught up into ungodly religions. They are caught up into places of self-work. I have a dear friend. Spoke to him today. I love him dearly. He is a sweet man. He loves the Lord, I believe, very, very much. He is a Christian. The Lord is dealing with him about being filled with the Holy Spirit, but he is still caught up, I'm going to tell you right now, in the Catholic Church. And he is around a group of Catholics that truly are saved and do love the Lord, a charismatic movement, and I appreciate it and love it. But as the Lord continues to deal with him, he goes to a charismatic Bible study on Wednesdays, and all of those precious brothers are filled with the Holy Spirit, and it's wonderful, and they're more non-denominational and all this. And you've heard me maybe say this before. I say, well, brother, why are you still there? Why are you still in that Catholic church? He says, I just love the ceremony. I said, you ever read Hebrews? That's what God said. He said, get away from that. See, this does, this wants some type of accountability. This wants a programmed, ordered steps. But that's not how God works. God don't work that way. It's free. It's grace. He loves. He brings you in. And He actually takes His mind and He puts it in you. And He sets you free. Isn't it wonderful? Amen. I'll tell you. It's amazing what He can do. But it's His way. And I'm going to tell you, His thoughts aren't your thoughts. His ways are not man's ways. It's completely different. And that's why it takes complete faith to really go on with Him, doesn't it? Because a lot of times it does not make sense. I say, Lord, this does not make sense. And the thing I'm learning is when He puts me in it, a lot of times I've used to try to think of how it was going to work out. Oh, okay, Lord, I can see how this one finally is going to work. Don't do that. Don't do that. Because he never brings disappointment. But when I try to figure something out, doesn't it always bring disappointment? Because, you know, we have our hopes and expectations. Let him be your hope. Let him be your hope. Let him be your expectation. Let him be, Lord, I know whatever you're going to do is going to be right. And I'm just here being. And some said, my wife says, oh, honey, you're English sometimes. I said, well, honey, it is. I'm just being. See, I don't care about English. I just want to care about, am I in accordance with His Word? I'm telling you. Praise God. I'll be feisty sometimes. Ask her. All right. So she says, he says to her, come out of her, my people, that ye be not partakers of her sins, and that ye receive not of her plagues. See, these people that do not believe, that continue on, they're going to burn with her. I appreciated my aunt today. We were talking about something, and she said, yeah, absolutely. It isn't the epitome that God doesn't have any grandchildren. He doesn't. God has children. That's all. And in one generation, no matter how wonderful those parents were, those kids go away. If they don't get into the things of God and really get their children, in one generation thereafter, they're gone. I'm telling you, I've seen it. I've seen it here. And it breaks your heart. Don't compromise. Be set for the defense of the gospel in your life. It'll be worth it all. It really will. There'll be things that God will remove from your life that you held dear. But do you trust Him that those were the things that were going to be destructive and detrimental to your life? See, that's faith. And that's when I know He does all things well. I tell you, I talk to people all the time, and they appreciate me for a while, and then it's almost they stop and they say, well, you're just kind of nutty. You're just thinking everything's going to work out your way, isn't it? And I said, well, the Bible tells me that. It's going to be all things work together for my good to them that are called according to His purpose. They talk about purpose-driven lives and all these things. Just let God be the purpose of your life. Just let Christ be the purpose of your life. And I'll guarantee you, the Word of God tells me that all things will work together for my good. Okay? Didn't mean that it didn't say there, you're going to understand that all things work together for your good, does it? No. I do pray for His understanding. I do pray for His wisdom. But more importantly than even all of that, you know what I pray? Lord, let me believe. Let me just believe. My mind is so finite, I know I need Your mind. But I'm going to tell you, sometimes I get tired. Sometimes I feel like I can't even fight. I can't go on. But Lord, help me believe. Because that's going to get me through. And it will. It'll get you through. Just believe Him. Praise God. All right. Let's go on. Verse 5. For her sins have reached into heaven, and God hath remembered her iniquities. Reward her even as she rewarded you, and double unto her, double according to her works. In the cup which she hath filled, fill her double. How much she hath glorified herself and lived deliciously, so much torment and sorrow give her. For she saith in her heart, I sit a queen, and am no widow, and shall see no sorrow. Isn't this wonderful? I'll tell you. Her sins have reached unto heaven, and God hath remembered her iniquities. Just like brother over here, I just said, isn't that precious? He remembers them no more. But hers are remembered. So there's a difference there, isn't it? Obviously, we got somebody that doesn't know Christ as Savior. This isn't a child of God. And the ones that are caught up into this, that are really going after this, they're not people of the Lord. But these are enormous sins. And I was speaking to a guy on Sunday. I spent a lot of time with him. And the Lord has, I know, been dealing with this man for quite a few years that I've been in his life. And He's used me to continue to bring out the different things of God to him. And he still has not accepted the Lord. It breaks my heart. But over 2.5 hours of bringing Scripture. And I knew in my heart that the Lord told me He had never read the Bible. And it just so happened I had a Bible, could you imagine? And so there he was. We were stuck at about 29,000 feet together. And it was just him and just me. And the wonderful Word of God. And Jesus was there. But one of the things that was said that really broke my heart after all the different dealings that God did, He said, well, you know, I get up every day and I do my best. And this is a very good man. I mean, if he saw you on the road, he'd stop. He'd change your tire. He'd give you, if you needed some money, he didn't know you, he'd give you money. And he's not proud about it in that way, and very humble to and all. But he says, I do the best I can. I believe I've lived a very good life. I'm doing good. I'm doing these things, and I believe God will accept me. And I stopped and I said, can you imagine what you just said? If you were a murderer, a rapist, and all of these different things, what you just said is more wicked and vile to God than that. This is the self-righteousness that this woman just completely portrayed. When I said that to him, I'll tell you, I got a stare that you couldn't believe. I think God was dealing with him at that moment. I said, you have to know the Word of God and what it says. It's not about a Sodom and Gomorrah. Sure, that was some awful sin. Don't get me wrong. God destroyed a city for it. But I think there's chapter upon chapter warning us of the accursed. Who hath bewitched you? Begun in the Spirit, are you made perfect now by your works? The law? How many times? What is the book of Romans all about? It's by faith. Amen. This is what she portrayed. This truly, as we spoke about last week, is the epitome of where the great religions of the world are today. The two greatest religions in the world today, the two biggest ones, are basically that are acknowledged out there. We have Islam and we have Catholicism. And that's really controlling pretty much of the whole world. You know, people might say Buddhists and things of that nature. That's kind of went to the path, this side. Hinduism is going to so many different offshoots, they don't even know what it is anymore. I don't think they believe, and understood what they believed to begin with anyways. But those are the two biggest ones. And they're completely, totally religions of works. Self-works. What can I do? What can I merit? This is exactly what she's the epitome of. Let's read about her again. These are great sins. God, they've reached into heaven, and God hath remembered her iniquities. Reward her even as she rewarded you, and double unto her, double according to her works, and the cup which she hath filled, fill her double. Turn with me to Revelation 20:13. I want to read you a verse about those that are going to be judged according to their works. It's Revelation 20:13. After all of God's people, the first resurrection, as it's called here, after all those that have faced the first death have been united with the Lord, here's the remainder, those that never accepted Christ Jesus as Savior. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged every man according to their works. What that man said to me in the plane made me shudder. Because that's what he wanted. I do not want to be judged according to my works. I want to be judged by His work in me. Oh, I want to be judged by His work in me. And it's going to be a great reward. I'm going to tell you, it's going to be a great reward. Because it's His perfect work. It is. Anything that He does is perfect. And as I yield my life to Him, and I say, Jesus, come in, sup with me, praise God. It's going to be perfect. And those are going to be the reward of gold and silver and precious stone. That's reward. That's going to be there. Isn't that precious? He's a rewarder of them who? That diligently seek Him. Praise His name. Do you believe that He's called you tonight to come into this, that by His grace we are diligently seeking Him this evening? Priorities. Perspective. Get in the heavens right now. You're seated there. Just let Him take you there. You got to see where He's seeing you. And you're seated there. As a child of God, you're seated together with Him. Lay it aside. Praise God. We're going to maybe have a little bit of a so what theme on Sunday. All this stuff in this earth, so what? in the right perspective, in godly perspective, I think you understand what I'm talking about. It don't matter. It don't matter. It means everything, but in the same token, it's nothing. It's just, where's my perspective? Praise His name. All right. So, these are judged according to their works. She's so wicked, and the sins have reached into heaven, that she is going to get a double portion of the work judgment. And it's all going to end up in the same place if you go over there to chapter 21. It says the fearful, unbelieving, abominable whoremongers. That's in verse 8. They're all cast in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Okay? So all of that, that's where it's going. Yep. It's going to be eternal destruction and damnation. Okay, and this is how she is judged. And you notice here these seven vials again that we read about over the last couple of weeks here. They're worse than the plagues of Egypt because again, she has been being rewarded according to her self-righteousness. How much she hath glorified what? Herself. It's all about self. What does Christ say? Deny self. She has made herself of what? Of much reputation. What did Christ do? He made Himself of no reputation. Do you see how anti-Christ this system is? And it's here today. It is. It's here today. It's just not combined into this unit power yet today, but it's fractionalized out there and it's growing. And I don't know what it's going to be. I don't know what it's going to be called or anything like that, but I know that Christ calls it Babylon. And it's a system, and it's a wicked system, and it's at work today. And it's robbing people. And God is calling to them, come out of her, my people. And He's not calling to them at that time, because at this time we're reading right here, it's too late. He's calling to them now. He's calling to us now. If we have any remotely adherent to thinking that there is something that we can merit of ourselves to God, He's telling you right now, come out of it. Because it'll defeat you from Christ's best. It really will. That's the abominable to God. He gave His Son. I was explaining that. I mean, this is God. Now, why He set it up that way, I don't know. I just believe it. He told me it was so. But it's all in His Son. He's just so magnificent. He's just so beyond my mind, so infinite. But yet He put it all in His Son. And His Son became a man. And He died upon that cross for me personally and you too. Amen. And that's where it stayed. That's where it lied. That's everything. That's how simple salvation is. But that's the insult to God, and how great an insult it is when you think that it could be anything else. And Jesus the same yesterday, today, and forever. It didn't change. We were saved by grace. We grow in grace. And by the grace of God, we're going to be glorified in His grace. Amen. See, we're not going to need that faith any longer. My faith's going to be made whole. But we're going to be in the unsearchable, endless riches of His grace. We're already there in a sense. But someday, it's going to be for the eternities to come. Isn't that amazing? Amen. That's the love of God. That's the love of God. All right. So again, she delights in herself. She glorified in herself. She lives deliciously. So much torment and sorrow give her. For she says in her heart, I sit a queen. Oh, and am no widow, and shall see no sorrow. So first of all, she's presenting herself as the queen that is obviously going to have a king. I wonder what church that is. One that professes that this church is the bride. They probably could profess it. How could you be so silly? It's not even silly. How could you be so wicked? It's not an organization that's going to be presented to Christ as bride. It's going to be somebody that loves Him. Brother Hill used to call it the organism. Well, there's going to be the completeness of organism of the love of God. Praise His name. That's going to be presented as His bride. And am no widow. Oh my. And shall see no sorrow. She's totally blind, totally in denial. Go back and read chapter 2 real quick here, verses 19 and 20. Actually, let's go back to 18. This is Thyatira again. Read what the God is saying to this church. And unto the angel of the church in Thyatira write, These things saith the Son of God, who hath the eyes like unto a flame of fire and his feet like fine brass. This is the judgment that's coming to the people that are going to be caught up into this. This is the complete judgment. This is when it's the time shall be no more. I know thy works and charity and service and faith and patience in thy works. And the last to be more than the first. So what's the first and the last? It's works and works and works. And you can see what we just read. She glorified in herself. It was all about self-works. There wasn't anything good that was coming out of here. It was the epitome of wickedness. Notwithstanding, I have a few things against thee, because thou suffered the woman Jezebel. Without cohabitation is what that means. She calls herself a prophetess, but she's yet seducing my servants, committing fornication, to eat things sacrificed unto idols. I gave her space to repent of her fornication, and she repented not. Wonder what those religions are that are turning to idols today. Got a statue? How about some beads? Saints on the walls? I can pray to them for that power, and I need this, and then I'll wear a medal. Let's connect the dots. I mean, it's here. It's amongst us. And yet, there's other religions as well, too, where I've got to keep my towel and a rug or whatever it is and throw it down. And whenever these times of the day are, I've got to get down. Got to pray one way. Then I got to fast at this time. Then I can't eat. All these different things. You see, the commonality in all that is self-righteousness. The epitome of wickedness to God. All right. Verse 8. Therefore shall her plagues come in one day. Death, mourning, famine. She shall be utterly burned with fire, for strong is the Lord God who judges her. You'll read that as well in Revelation 17:16, where the ten-horned beast that the whore sits upon goes ahead, finds her desolate, naked, eats her flesh, and burns her with fire. We talked about that last night. I just kind of think that's an interesting picture. It's that sufficient witness of the political power and the one over the nations, meaning that Antichrist. And there was that religious system. And they kind of finally looked and recognized each other. And it was over. So see, God gets rid of this. This is the judgment of this whore we're reading about this evening. All right. Verse 9. And the kings of the earth who have committed fornication and lived deliciously with her shall bewail her and lament her when they shall see the smoke of her burning. And again, I read this and the call to God's people at this time. Set your affections on things above. Set them on things above. Really. Let's not build the wood, hay, and stubble in our life. It'll burn. It'll burn. Now, God will still remain faithful. Go read there in 1 Corinthians. Don't panic. You know, a lot of people, again, that the devil wants to utilize to say, oh, look, there you can lose your salvation. Oh, look, you know, there you go. He's going to deny you. Read the next verse. Come on. Understand the whole thing that God's talking about. You can pull anything out. I'm telling you, you can. And the Lord's dealing with me on much more sermons, if he tarry, about the things that we need to stand in defense of this gospel. And this gospel is being attacked in many different ways. And this gospel is being attacked by even Bibles today that are being published and made that leave out Scripture, that change things, that water it down such that, again, one of the brothers and sisters were sharing with me, and it wasn't the first time that I've heard it, is that there are ones that are truly just spent of the devil, that love to come against Christians, that have those kinds of Bibles, that'll open it up and even try to confuse them with the own word that they have, because it's not the word of God that you'll find in King James. Okay. See, that'll whet your appetite to come again. All right, or maybe not. Okay. But the kings of the earth who have committed fornication and lived deliciously with her shall bewail her, lament for her, when they shall see the smoke of her burning, standing afar off for the fear of her torment. They're still fearing her and still fearing her torment. It just shows you how, again, entranced. There was a sorcery that was going on. We'll read about, Lord willing, as we get to the end of this. I believe we can still get there this evening. But this sorcery, she bewitched them, this sorcery. And if you read about that, by the grace of God, it means with drugs and medicines and spells. And I have to think, in this world today, you start thinking of how they treat everything. If you go into a doctor today, and especially these kids, and it bothers me. I understand. Don't get me wrong. I have a brother who's a doctor, and they can do some wonderful things, and I appreciate ones that are really in tune with the Lord. I mean, Brother Luke, he was a doctor. Isn't that precious? And the things that God gave to him. And God can use things. God uses anything that He wants, okay? But a lot of times I see this world stepping in, and there's a duping going on. And these kids that they just pump full of Ritalin and all of these different things a lot of times. I think it's unnecessary and it's an excuse. And everybody's got ADD. I've got it. Everybody has it. And you know, just pay attention. Just kidding. But that's where we're at, isn't it, huh? It's coming. All right. I've got to stay with it here. I'm sorry. But alas, alas, the great city, that mighty city, for in 1 hour is thy judgment come. Isn't that wonderful? It's just so sudden. You know, things you think are just going to last and it's gone. Isn't that something? See, that's how God is. Don't despair. He'll take care of it. And the merchants of the earth shall weep and mourn over her. For no man buyeth their merchandise anymore. I won't have you turn there, but Ezekiel 7:19, it says how they throw their monies in the street. It's all worthless. And I know people that still will go pick it up. Yep, they will. And but that's their God, see? But it ain't going to buy nothing anymore. It's going to be worthless. We're coming into a time. The Ponzi scheme, as I've said many times, this great economy, as we call it, is about ready to run out. They're running out of paper to print the money, huh? Our poor trees. But it's coming. You read the Word of God, Ezekiel 7:19, we'll talk about that. And it shows you just how they lament and how horrified they are that nothing buys anything anymore. It's over. It's as Brother Hill used to say, it's that clock and it keeps running down and no one can find the key. Remember he say that all the time? It's true. We're closer each and every day. The merchandise of gold and silver, precious stone, of pearls, fine linen, purple, silk, scarlet, all fine wood, and all manner of vessels of ivory, all manner of vessels of most precious wood, and of brass, and iron, and marble. You see, the Lord speaking to us, the only value that we'll ever have in our life is Christ. It's not what you do. It's not how big your home is. You're going to leave it with that, that queen said, my kingdom for a moment in time. It's over. It's gone. That little guy in France, he was looking for his boots. I think he was looking for something else after he shut down. Sorry. And cinnamon and odors and ointments, frankincense, wine, oil, fine flour, wheat, and beasts and sheep and horses and chariots and slaves and souls of men. Isn't that something, the souls of men? Luke 12:34 tells us where our heart is also our treasure. And anything apart from God is an idol. It is. Anything that comes before Him truly is an idol. And they can be good things that we think of. It can be our children. It can be a spouse. It can be moms and dads. It can be my brother or sister. It could be a friend. You know, we're talking people and everybody says, well, that's a person. That's good stuff. No, it's not. Christ needs to be first and foremost in our life. And I'm going to tell you, I believe there was some fear, and I can speak a little bit about her this evening because she's not here as long as you don't say nothing. But my wife, and she's with my babies, but I know there was a little bit of a fear when the Lord again called me into the ministry, in a sense that the taking of time, you know, and the enemy really came in. It was very difficult for her. I was speaking about it this afternoon, and my heart was saddened. It really was. I mean, it was, again, we're fighting the good fight of faith. You understand that. I mean, everybody's got their battle that's perfectly sent from the Lord. But we fear in different things. But I know that one of the fears was about, like, my love for her, my attention. Do I love the Lord more by the grace of God than 18 months ago? Yes, I do. Do I love my wife more than I've ever loved her in my life? Yes, I do. It's because of the love of God. He gives you capacity beyond when you're at a limit. It's like them wineskins. They just, you know, they keep expanding. You can keep pouring it in there. Now, they might burst, but He doesn't. It just keeps growing. But see, that's what God can do for you. So don't fear that kind of stuff. If you have a spouse or you have somebody that's really fallen in love with the Lord, be excited. They've got capacity to really treat you right. They've got capacity to really be kind now and really love you. You might even have a breakfast waiting for you in the morning. Okay. Going on. But the souls of men here, so you can see how they're playing all this out here. All right. And the fruits that thy soul lusts after are departed from thee. I was thinking again how only the heavenly fruit really remains. Everything else is going to be gone. Everything that we see, it's going to turn to dust. It's out of here. And all the things which were dainty and goodly are departed from thee, and thou shalt find them no more at all. I was thinking again about Brother Lot. There he was, just Lot. But look at the agony of his life. Because he went and he partook in that. The world was his favor. The world was what he went after. And he lost it. And then you even had the epitome. You know, we see that and we say, oh yeah, that was Sodom and Gomorrah living. See? Can't go in there. What about Solomon? He was a very good man. He was a very good man. Very wise man, just man, loved God, didn't go into Sodom and Gomorrah, actually built a city and all and people and really pointed him towards the things of God. But at the very end of his life, you know what he said? He said, vanity, oh vanity, empty of emptiness. I missed it. I missed what my daddy had. And he knew it. He didn't fully go after him. David fully went after him. Didn't say of the really scarred, wicked things that Solomon did. I couldn't really find any in there, could I now? Huh? Oh, David, look at that sin. Ooh. And then he even sinned on top of that. And then he killed and then he hid it. Ooh, what a scoundrel. But he was the man after God's own heart. It's God's work. Don't judge a thing. Get away from it. I'm telling you. Just live your life before Him. Pray for one another. Ask God to change you, to give you a heart that loves people, that wants to cover a sin, that wants to restore a brother. I mean it. That's a Philadelphia saint, and that's one person that's going to rule and reign with Christ Jesus. The merchants of these things which were made rich by her shall stand afar off for the fear of her torment, weeping and wailing. They see their doom coming. And saying, alas, alas, that great city which was clothed in fine linen and purple and scarlet, decked with gold and precious stones and pearls. I'll let you conjure up imagination which city that might be. For in 1 hour so great riches has come to naught. And I'm going to tell you again, that city today has the greatest wealth of all the art treasures of the world. But you know they're finding out too. Let me tell you, Iran and some of those other places, it ain't too shabby over there either. So let's not try to pinpoint it. It's going to be all over the place. Praise God. It's going to be a wicked... there's going to be many nations that are going to be struck. Huh? For in 1 hour so great riches has come to naught. And every shipmaster... And again, isn't that so something again? How many times have we read already tonight? 3 times. 1 hour. 1 hour. 1 hour. It's coming. He's going to deal with it. Vengeance is mine. I'm going to repay, saith the Lord. He does this in your life too. Pray for those who despitefully use you. But I'm going to tell you, who touches me, who touches you, touches the apple of God's eye. And I shudder to think. And I stand there as Brother David did, and I watch my enemies go down. Everything's got a season. And God might have me in a season with, you know, Mr. Wicked, who might be my boss or, you know, my next door neighbor or whatever it is. But I hope for them that God comes in and changes the heart there, obviously. But you know what? I've seen them go down too. Flaming. Explosions, you know, And I just glory in how He keeps me. For in 1 hour so great riches is come to naught. And every shipmaster and all the company and ships and sailors and as many as trade by sea stood afar off. So again, they've all backed off. They're watching this destruction. And they cried when they saw the smoke of her burning, saying, what city is like unto this great city? And isn't it amazing how they just love, they're so drawn to her rich, in a sense, all of that material wealth. That was their whole deal. Have you seen people just go into demise, whether it's on TV or whatever it is? I mean, it's just, it's their whole being. The being is what I have in my bank account. The being is who I am in the eyes of people. Don't go there. And we can be at that on any level. I mean, it's amazing. Like I said, you don't have to have much to be very proud. I know people that I've helped to do things and maybe to get jobs for and all that, that have really kind of been bumping around. And, you know, it seems like, you know, they didn't have a lot of talent. So, well, I can't do that. That's beneath me. But man, you don't got a job. Employed. Unemployed. Which one's on top of the other? I don't know. Lord, humble. Oh, I'll tell you, we need to be humble. Praise God. And cried when they saw the smoke of her burning, saying, what city is like unto this great city? And they cast dust on their heads. And you see them, unfortunately, it's so sad when they cry and they throw dust on their heads right now over there in the Middle East. And this is bringing to that, let those funerals and things of that nature. These people are crying and throwing dust on their head because the city is gone. Because their welfare is gone. No thought of God whatsoever. It was all about things. Isn't that something? I'm telling you. And again, let this speak to us. The love of money being the root of all evil. And this is just the beginning of their hell. Think about that. You know, they think they're in hell now. Oh, I'm living hell. No, you're not living hell now. If you don't know Christ, you haven't seen nothing yet. And then when you see hell, you haven't seen nothing yet. Because the next step's going to be a lake of fire. And that I can't even imagine. And the great city wherein were made all rich, all that had ships in the sea by reason of her costliness, for in 1 hour is she made desolate. I'd like to keep going, so bear with me. I know we're going to be a little over time this evening. But here we go. Verse 20. Rejoice over her, thou heaven. Oh, to God be all glory. Isn't this precious? And ye holy apostles and prophets, for God hath avenged you on her. Vengeance is mine. I'll repay, saith the Lord. It's coming. Our payday is someday. He is going to have us stand by His grace, not that we've already attained, and let them all know that He has loved you. Okay? You might not be loved by somebody you want to be loved by tonight. And you may have been disappointed, and maybe so-and-so, you really had a neat guy in your life, and or a husband has not treated you right, and I'm sorry, and it breaks my heart. But know who loves you. And know who's calling you. That someday it's going to be forever. Forever. And that's a love that will never let you go. Praise His name. Praise His name. But they're really so thankful and rejoicing now, because what's really being defeated here is the false bride of Christ. This is the one that presented herself the queen. This is the one that presented herself as the one that was going to, you know, in a sense, rule, reign. This is the one that was going to marry Christ or something, you know, in a sense, this Antichrist thing. But this is the one that has presented herself as the false bride. This is this great rejoicing here. And a mighty angel took up a stone like a great millstone and cast it into the sea, saying, thus with violence shall that great city Babylon be thrown down and shall be found no more at all. It just completely sinks. It's completely carried away. The Babylon city of old is hard to find. They can find, I guess, artifacts of it. But Daniel 2, verses 31 through 35 speaks of this. And it's very interesting. I'll make just a quick note. In Daniel, most of throughout all of Daniel, Daniel points to the Antichrist part of this two-party union here. Doesn't really point to the great whore as much. It's more of the nationalization, the nations. You'll find that this Daniel 2 verses 31 through 35, it talks about a stone hitting this great image, and the great image speaks of the four great empires, which are the epitome, in a sense, of this Romanish type of empire that has all of the empowerment of all the great empires that have ever been before it. But again, I guess somewhat spiritually thinking here is, you know, Christ is really giving us the vision of this bridal truth at this time. And that woman, this Babylon, this false bride, is such an epitome and is brought out so clearly in this revelation. There is a meaning for it here. Chapters 14 through 19, it hits it over and over again. So again, let's pay attention. 22. And the voice of the harpers and musicians and of pipers and trumpeters shall be heard no more at all in thee. No craftsman of whatsoever craft he be, shall he be found any more in thee. And the sound of a millstone shall be heard no more at all in thee. And the light of a candle shall shine no more at all in thee. Again, here you can see the sin, the blaspheme, the farce of the holiness and godliness is done and gone. And really, it's this form of godliness is completely snuffed out at this time. Isn't it precious? God is wrapping it all up. And the voice of the bridegroom and of the bride shall be no more heard at all in thee. Again, this is that false claim of bridal here. For thy merchants were the great men of the earth. For by the sorceries were all nations deceived. I want to share with you one little thing too before we leave. I had read, so many years ago, and again, I'm not trying to get us into all of these different thoughts, but I just thought it was very interesting that there was a very wealthy family, and since it's published, I'll go ahead and mention it. It was one of the Rothschilds, and they've had monies for years and years and years and years. And now there are Christians that will take this, and they'll run with it, and they'll get caught up into centuries past, and we're going to get into Jekyll Island, and you know, you can get caught up into a lot of different things as a Christian. Just get caught up into Jesus, okay? But basically what had happened was this was, I believe, back in the 12th or the 13th century. And one of the Rothschilds was writing how they were basically going to conquer and dominate the world. And see, these people that were very wealthy at this time, and a lot of us don't understand how they think like this, because I tend to think, I believe like the Lord does, I think today. You know, I might... You know, the Lord says to save up for your children's children and different things like that, and that's a wonderful thing. But these people think in centuries. They have so much money or whatever maybe it is, or power, or, like I say, this really truly evil thinking. It's like, you know, was that Pinky in the Brain? You know, how are we going to take over the world today? But this is how they're thinking in this long type, drawn out type of thing. And basically the three of the things that he had written down that they were really entrenched to do, and you think about this, was the breakdown of the family. That was the very first and foremost one. Breaking it down. What are we about today? What are we even voting on now? You think about that. How do we define marriage? How do we do all this type of thing? These are just parts of that. I don't want to get political, but I'm just saying it's here. It's here. And our courts decide what it is now. Now it's no longer the people. We'll decide for you. Okay. But let's not get crazy about that. I get excited about that. Okay? I don't need to march around with a sign. I've got the sign. You know, it's right here. And he said, when these things start to happen, look up. Look up, look up. All right? Okay. Next one was to abolish Christianity. Any type of Christ, any type of acknowledgement of that. That there would be, well, what are we doing today? We have one of the leaders that might step into the head of the Senate. One of the very forces that they're saying right now, well, we're going to take off in God we trust. You say, well, what does that really mean? I think it's a big step in a direction that this country is going. Uh-huh. Yep. Know these things. And the third one, there was a few others too, but the other one was the opium trade. Drug the people. And especially the young. What are we about? We're legalizing drugs, aren't we? We have many countries that it's legal to go ahead and buy them at the store. It's here. Okay? Not trying to scare you, really. Be excited. Your time's about here. Your time's about here. And God does keep our children. I've got young kids, and I'm not fearful. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And let me tell you something. He's the shield. Praise His name. But it says, for by the sorceries were all nations deceived. And again, that sorcery talks about medicines and drugs and spells and all of those different things. And it's all coming at us today. And in her was found the blood of prophets and of saints and of all that were slain upon the earth. Complete judgment and complete blame. It all funneled back to that. Isn't that something? It's amazing what can happen when we get away from the things of God, and how quickly it can happen. Let God keep you, okay? He is your keeper. But let Him just keep your mind and your attention, your affection. Ask Him to come in and let Him be all in all to you. Let's stand and be dismissed.